Bruchim Haboim, welcome to another week of Parsha Insights, Parshas Vayera. Every week we have this shiur, when we have this shiur, not only to give each other chizuk, strength, we need to be mechazik each other, Rabbi. So I've been talking about that a lot the last few weeks. Additionally, hopefully the Divrei Torah will enhance your Shabbos, because we spoke in great detail a few weeks ago always about the importance of the beauty of Shabbos, Shabbos Hamalcha, the beautiful queen, but especially this year, we quoted the Minchas Oni, Rabbi Yaakov Eplinger, in a year where there was no shofar on the first day of Rosh Hashanah because it was Shabbos, how critical and important it is to raise the level of the beauty of our Shabbos queen. The Shir each and every week is sponsored by Zecher Nishmas, Ula Ile Nishmas, your parents, Rebecca Basterina and Leon Ben Rachel. The yard site of Rebecca Basterina is actually tomorrow night. Their neshama tahiras zolhobin a lichtige, lichtige ganedem. The Shir is also sponsored by Zecher Nishmas, Ula Ile Nishmas, Miriam Zlata Bas, Reb Moshe Michael. As well, may her neshama tahira have a lichtige ganedem. If one takes a look in the beginning of Parshas Vayera, we know that there are three people. Actually, we know that they end up, they are, I shouldn't say they end up, they are angels. The Pasuk tells us, if you're looking at the second Pasuk in the Parsha, V'hine shalosh anashim nitzavim olav, there were three men that were standing by Avraham Avinu. If you take a look, Rashi tells us, these were angels. Rashi is very clear what the job of these three angels were. Rashi tells us they were actually malachim, angels, for a very specific purpose. Keep in mind, each angel has one job. That's their mission at the moment. One of the three who came was the angel Michael. He came, as Rashi tells us, to inform Sarah she would have a child. Of course, that was Yitzchak. The Malach Gavriel came to overturn Sodom. And Raphael came to heal Avraham. Later, the job of Raphael was to save Lot. We're not going to get into the following thought in great detail because I want to stay focused on a certain comment, but it's worth speaking, and maybe you want to discuss it at the Shabbos table. If I just told you that every Malach has one job, so one, looks like you asked it to each other, one came to informed Sarah she would have a child. One came to overturn Sodom, and one came to heal Avram, and later to save Lot. That sounds like that's two jobs, healing Avraham and saving Lot. And I believe the answer is, part of healing Avraham is saving his nephew Lot. Because if you heal Avraham, but don't save his nephew, have you really completely healed Avraham? In other words, we know the importance of family, caring, taking care of each other. Earlier this week, I mentioned a quote. Someone said, I take umbrage with the fact that they say Hitler, Yimach Shemoi V'Zichro, killed 6 million Jews. He did not kill 6 million Jews. He killed one Jew 6 million times. And certainly that's the way we've been feeling the last few weeks since October 7th, since Shmini Atzeres and Simchas Torah in Eretz Yisrael, where yes, what took place was unprecedented. It's a word that's been used a lot lately. Additionally, the unity has been unprecedented. We davened HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the war end immediately, but the unity continue as Shalom Al Yisrael. That, as I said the last few weeks, is not optional like a smorgasbord. It's mandatory. It's obligatory. It's not negotiable. One Jew, so 6 million times. How our heart aches and is shattered. We are mispalel every moment for the hostages. May they be freed immediately and safely and in perfect health. We think of the civilians. We're constantly mispalel tears for the chayalim. both in the north and the south, that each and every one should return to their families in health. Immediately, quickly, we think of the 1,400 that were brutally murdered with such atrocities. Kal Yisrael is one guf. And maybe that's what we're learning, to heal Avraham, but not to save a family member of his, is not completely healing Avraham. So essentially, that shlichus that you think is two separate things, in reality is one and the same. Because really healing a person is taking care of their family. And that's what we've been going through since October 7th, the unity, the oneness of Klal Yisrael. And we hope and we beseech and we storm the Shari Shemayim that this united family known as Am Yisrael, the hostages, as we said, be returned, the Chayalim be, each and every one that we're mispalel for, safe, and that we should merit the Gula Shleima. But remember, Rabbi Yisai, for one of us to be complete and feel complete, that applies to how we feel about our entire family. Now, the question I do want to focus on, which actually the Maral asks, and I'd like to tell you, I saw this extraordinary pshat in the Sefer, Avnei Kodesh. I quoted to you Avnei Kodesh last week, and once again, I found this extraordinary, monumental pshat, and so I know you're wondering, I didn't say that line that I say every week, and the shiur already started, so I'll say it right now. So for those of you who are in the Heichal, and for those of you who are currently listening live on the phone, and for those of you who Be'ezus Hashem hear it, wherever you hear it from when it's sent out, I hope you enjoy this extraordinary pshat. The Maral asks a question. If that's what each of the Malachim did, we'll quickly repeat. Michal to tell Sarah she would have a child, Gavriel to overturn Sodom, and Raphael to heal Abraham and later save Lot. The question would be, asks the Maral and Gur Aryeh, then why did the Malach, why did the angel Gavriel, who was later going to overturn Sodom, why did he have to be there now? His job wasn't till later. His job was to overturn Sodom at a later date. It's so funny. We learn the parsha each and every year. You never thought of that question? We never have that question. What's he doing here now? He's not needed till later on. He didn't have to be there while the other two did their job. In fact, a proof to this, says the Maral, is because later when the Malachim arrived at Sodom, how many Malachim were there? Only two. Rashi over there explains in the first pasuk of Perek Yotes, the Malach Michael, who was originally sent at the beginning of the Parsha to inform Sarah about the fact that she would give birth, he was no longer needed. He was no longer needed. He departed the scene. He didn't need to be there when the other two were there entering Sodom. One was needed to save Lot. One was needed to overturn Sodom. So you see that a Malach is only present when they're needed at that moment. So why, asks the Maral, was Gavriel initially sent to Avram with the other two if there was no obvious shlichus to perform now? It's a moiridik akasha. It should bother us. What's he doing here now if his job was later on to overturn Sodom and it wasn't now? Avnei Kodesh brings down from Reb Chatzkel Abramsky, the great Reb Chatzkel Abramsky, Zeche Tzadik V'Kodesh Levrocha. There was a definite need for Gavriel to be in attendance now. He's only overturning Sodom at a later date. He was being sent to essentially destroy Sodom, the entire civilization in that area. And Gavriel may have questioned the need for that. Why is all of Sodom needed to be destroyed? Earlier in Parshas Bereishis, if a person turns to Perek Ches, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Ches Chaf Aleph, we're in the Parsha 2 weeks ago, Parshas Noach, there the Pasuk says, Ki Yetzer Lev HaAdam Ra Mina Urav, that the man's heart is evil from the youth, from its youth. from his youth. Man is essentially evil. So from that pasuk in Parshas Noach, we understand that Kadosh Baruch Hu said that another Mabul will never be brought to the world because man is almost essentially, inherently, in his heart, evil. And as a result, I'm not going to bring another Mabul and destroy the world because that is what man is. And so Rav Chatzkel Abramsky says, as bad as Sodom was, and they were only following their natural tendencies. As the pasuk says, Leva Adam Ramin Urav. So they were living the way essentially Hashem said man is, with evil in their heart from their beginning. So Gavriel could have wondered, why would Sodom be destroyed if they were merely acting the way that the pasuk seems to imply a human, or at least on that level, does behave and act? Zokt Reb Chatzkel Abramsky, you know what the Ribbono Shel Olam did? To respond to that argument of Gavriel, who could be wondering, why am I being sent to overturn Sodom, as terrible and as evil as they are, but that seems to be the natural proclivity of man, Lev Ha'odam Ramin Urav. So the Ribbono Shel Olam says to Gavriel, come with me. You're right, your shlichus is not needed now. Right now, the only ones that are needed are Michael and Raphael. But come with me. I want you to witness what takes place in the home of a man. That man's name is Avraham Avinu. Essentially no different in his makeup than the other men. And yet I want you to see the Reimimus Ha'adam, the godless Ha'adam, the extraordinary and extreme exaltedness and holiness that a person could achieve as a human. Avraham Avinu becomes Amud HaChesed, the pillar of Chesed. So Hashem is showing Gavriel, a regular person born of a man who overcame his natural tendencies, who overcame his natural proclivities, and was ever so different from Sodom. And now, Gavriel, that you see what could become of man, what man could achieve and accomplish, the same man. And one ends up like a Sodom, and the other like Avraham Avinu. Now that you've seen an Avraham Avinu, and you've seen an actual demonstration of what a person could become, now you could carry out your shlichus in Sodom. Because without that, you wondered, why am I destroying this entire area? After all, Lev Ha'adam Ramin Urav, and isn't that what's expected of the person? Let me first show you. You're right, he wasn't needed now for the shlichus per se. For that, only the other two were needed. Let me show you what man could achieve, godless Ha'adam, the greatness, the exaltedness, the kindness of Avraham Avinu. And then when you see what that same man could become, who works on himself, then you'll be able to understand why you must carry out your shlichus in Sodom. How apropos is this maral in Reb Chatzkel Abramsky when we look at a world, certainly in our mind since October the 7th, where we could understand Ki Lev Ha'adam Ramin Urav. And I'm not only referring to the brutality and the atrocities, things that are unspeakable and unimaginable, that were done to babies and to women and to the elderly and to every member of Am Yisrael, and that evil that needs to be destroyed. But I also reference what's been taking place the last couple of weeks, where in campuses around the world, this is being supported and praised, what took place on October 7th in supposedly a civilized world. This last week, approximately 7,000 marching on the Brooklyn Bridge. Campuses that are supposed to be in that world elite and prestigious having groups of extraordinary numbers rallying and protesting against Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, approving and praising what was done on October the 7th, it's frightening to see what took place. But I believe it was 2 days ago in an airport in Russia. You watched such a scene, if one did, it was chilling to see. Kilev ha'odam ra min urav. And we're mispalled to the Ribbono shel Olam that that ra and that evil be removed and eradicated, so that there will once again be shalom al Yisrael with the Gula Shalema. But I mention the pshat for the second reason as well. While Gavriel had to go to fulfill his mission to destroy Sodom because of what man could become and what man could do, unfortunately the Ra, that the Pasuk in Perek Tes, Pasuk Chaval, seems to indicate, is the natural tendencies and natural proclivities. But don't forget, Gavriel was first shown a different exhibit, exhibit A, that of Avraham Avinu. And he's our father. He's our father. He's Avraham Avinu. And part of that greatness and part of that exaltedness and part of being so extraordinary, that Gadlus HaAdam of Avraham Avinu, that Gavriel was first showed to better understand why Sodom has to be overturned, that is entrenched in our DNA. And I believe that while it's a very soothing and comforting thought that Avraham Avinu is our Zaydi, and we have that midah of Gadlus HaAdam, of overcoming the natural proclivities of the evil within the youth and striving to become extraordinary, it's also an achrayus. An achrayus means that now is the time to do something about it, to bring out some of that greatness. It's a topic we've been speaking about week in and week out. Because the greatness of the Yid, Umik Amcha Yisrael, is simply without parallel. A few days ago, someone shared a story with me. In Eretz Yisrael, one of the soldiers who was murdered, I know his first name, Dvir. Maybe you heard the story. Allow me to repeat it again. Dvir was one of the soldiers who was murdered. And he was murdered at the same time using his body to shield and protect a fellow chayal, who he indeed saved the life of that chayal, who subsequently lived. I believe it took approximately 2 weeks to identify the body, just an indication of what the Rishayim Arurim did to the bodies. And last week, Devere's family started to sit Shiva. Rachamana Litzlan. And Devere's father was told that in 20 minutes or half an hour, that other chayal, the soldier that was saved as a result of the heroic act that his son Dvir did by putting his body over that chayal who was saved because of their son, was coming to pay a shiva kol and be menachem avel. You could only imagine the scene. They're sitting shiva for their son Dvir, and he saved the life of the chayal that was now coming to pay a shiva kol. As I heard the story, when Devere's father heard that report, he realized when this chayal comes, he may very well feel sad, extreme sadness, perhaps even guilt. Guilt that he's alive and Devere is no longer alive. Sadness at what happened and he's able to be here and the other chayal is not. And Devere's father thought to himself, I know I'm sitting shiva, he says to himself, but a chayal should not be made to feel sad. He should not be made to feel guilt. Now is not the time. So as I heard the story, he went to a couple of his neighbors to the left and the right, and he said, in 20 minutes, be at my house. And when that chayal walks in, we are going to dance and dance. I know I'm sitting Shiva, but that's what we're going to do. We're going to dance and dance and dance. So, and we will sing the words, Mitzvah Gedayla Lihiyais Besimcha. He should not feel sad. He should not feel guilty. He should not feel the pain or the thoughts that he's alive. And our son gave his life to protect him. He shouldn't be made to feel that way. And that's what happened. Maisa Shahaya Kachoya, the neighbors came and they danced and danced with the chayal so that he would feel the simcha, he would feel the appropriateness and be able to carry on and continue. I ask you, is that a maisa? That's what it means to have entrenched within you the DNA of Avraham Avinu, the godless, the she'ifus, the hisraimimus. So yes, you could take the lev ha'adam rami and urav and become like the rishaim arurim, or you could work on your tendencies and proclivities and realize, I am a descendant of Avraham Avinu. And Devir's father, but a few days ago, displayed that, thinking in his own intense grief about Yenim, the other chayal, the one that was saved, and let's make sure we dance and make sure that he's happy and he feels the feelings that he has every right to really feel, mitzvah gedayla liyais besimcha. It behooves every one of us, it's incumbent upon us, specifically at a time within October the 7th, the Shemini Atzeres and Simchas Torah in Eretz Yisrael, and when we look around what we believed was a civilized world and see the protests and the rallies that are taking place, Hashem Yerachem, every one of us have to remember we have entrenched within us the DNA of Avraham Avinu and utilize it. Become people of greatness. Earlier today, someone pointed out to me a pshat from the Chassam Sefer. The Heilige Chassam Sefer Zechusa Yagan Aleinu. It's a tremendous, tremendous pshat. I actually found it inside, so with your permission, I want to read some of the words. It's actually going back 2 weeks ago to Parshas Noach. The Chassam Sefer wonders, in the opening pasuk of Noach, Noach is described as Ish Tzadik Tomim Hoya B'day Raisam. I know Rashi's pshat, some say it was a praise, some say it wasn't. I'm not referencing that very famous Rashi. Ish Tzadik Tomim Hoya B'day Raisam, the pasuk means he was tzadik, he was righteous. Tomim means he was perfect, righteous and perfect, tzadik and tomim, B'day Raisam in his generation. If you take a look, but a few psukim later, right at the beginning of Perek Zion, as Shani begins, Perek Zion, Pasuk Aleph, Hashem says to Noach, Vayemer Hashem lo Noach, in the first pasuk of Pasuk Zion, Perek Zion, excuse me, I want all of you and your family to come to the Teva to be saved. Why? It's on page 32 if you're using this Chumash. Ki oyskar ra'isi tzadik lefonei badar hazeh, because it is you that I have seen to be righteous before me. Why in this pasuk is he called tzaddik without the word tamim? Hello? That's a kasha. Why are we not bothered by that? In the opening pasuk of the parsha, when we speak about Noach and the generation, we say he was tzaddik and tamim, righteous and perfect. Yet when the Rebbe Hashem is speaking to him a few pasukim later, Hashem says, I want all of your family to come into the teva, that you're going to go ahead and build. Why? Ki oisko reisi tzadik lefonai, I have seen and found you to be righteous. What happened to the description of tamim perfect? He's only given the tzadik here, not the tamim. Why? The Chassam Sofer Zechusa Yagan Aleinu asks that question, and I'd like you to hear some of the phraseology and verbiage that he uses. The word tamim, we translated the way we understood it to be tamim, from to be perfect, whole, complete. But that's not always what the word tamim means. Don't we know, let's say, by example, the night of the Seder, there's the Chacham, the Rasha, the Sheni Odeh, and there's the Tum. Tum there does not mean someone who's perfect and whole. I think we translate in English the tum as the simple one. Simple, naive. Says the Chassam Sefer, She'eni yodei umevin. The tum is the simple one who just doesn't know and doesn't understand. He doesn't comprehend. Says the Chassam Sefer, that's the definition of tumim as well in this opening pasuk. It says over there, Tzadik Tomim Hoya B'Doyreisav. That generation, those people that surrounded Nayach, they viewed him as a Tomim. They viewed him as a simple person, someone who doesn't get it, someone who's not living in the present. Shehu'eina Yedeya Umeven, he doesn't get it and he doesn't understand. Maligin Olav. They used to mock him, and they used to mock his actions. All these years, you're building that ark? In fact, if you take a look in the Medrash Rabbah tells us, Hayumivazin Aysai. They used to embarrass Nayach. So when the Pasuk says Nayach was a tzaddik, tamim hayabidairaisav, there it has that negative connotation of the word tamim. The Dairis of the generation viewed him as Tumim, as the simple one, the one who doesn't get it, the one who's archaic, who's building for no reason. She'eni yodeu u'mevin, and I told you, maligin olav, they mocked him. Mevazin oisai, they used to disgrace him. So therefore, b'dairis of, to the eyes of all those in his generation, it was a negative connotation, he was a Tumim. Says the Chassam Sefer, Bidayreinu, and the Chassam Sefer was talking in his time a couple hundred years ago, I'm quoting, unfortunately in our generation, Bava Nisenu Harabim, one who goes in the Darche Hashem, one who goes in the ways of the Avaisav, unfortunately, to the eyes of the world, to the eyes of those in our generation, in their eyes, they view us as a tum, they view us as a shaita, as irrelevant. Similar to the way that Noah's generation viewed and perceived him with the negative connotation of the word tum, in the word tum, says the Chassam Sefer, and this was in his generation, how much truer, truer exponentially in our generation, the way the world views us with the negativity. But the Ribbono Shel Olam, therefore, in the next parak, what was it that he answered Nayach? He told Nayach and his family, please look again in Parak Zion Pasuk Aleph, and if you're listening on the phone and you hear the recording, look at the Pasuk inside, Parak Zion Pasuk Aleph. Hashem tells Nayach that his whole family will be saved in the Teva. Why? There's no word Tumim of the negative connotation. There Hashem says, because I want you to know the truth. Look inside our Baisai. Ki oischa ra'isi tzadik lefanai. I want you to know the truth is that lefanai, in front of me, you're a tzadik. You're not the tumim, that negative connotation that the world will believe. The world believed it in the days of Nayach, the world believed it in the days of Chassam Sefer, and the world believes it today. But that's b'dayreisav, in their eyes, in their generation, b'einehem. But when the Ribbono Shel Olam is talking to Nayach, he tells Nayach, we're not using the word tumim now. We're not using that word that has the negative connotation. Because when I look at you, ki oischa re'isi tzadik lefanai, I know the truth. And when you're in front of me, forget the world, forget their eyes, forget their eyes. How do I view you, and how do I perceive you? As only a tzaddik. Because one who goes, as the Chassam Sefer says, b'darchei Hashem, b'darchei aveisenu, while the rest of the world may not perceive us as such, it cannot stop us. Because the Ribbono Shel Olam says, my kinderlach, you are lefana, you are before me, you are in front of me. And when you are in front of me, which is the true barometer of who a person is, the true view of who you are, albeit in the eyes of the world or in the media, whatever it is, that's not the perception. But oischa reisi tzadik lefanai. And we better never, ever forget it. I hope, Bezus Hashem, we're zoicha to the bracha as we conclude the shir. And I'm honored, people who are on the phone and will hear the recording don't realize how many people are in the heichal. Anoshim chashuvim and noshim tzidkaniyais. So you're always welcome to invite even more people. Bezus Hashem, the next shir is going to be with the Gula Shalem and Yerushalayim HaBenuya B'mheira B'Yameinu. But we have to remember the godless and the ability within us. That's our tendency and proclivity. And may we merit the bracha at the end of Kapitel Lamed, which we're saying now every day. Our Mayetz is said to be saying Pei Gimel, Kuf Lamed, and Kuf Mem Beis every day. 83, 130, and 142. It says Hashem's name 6, 7 multiple times. Yet when it comes to the last pasuk, it says, V'hu yifteh es Yisrael. I mentioned this on the TMT this past Friday. V'hu yifteh es Yisrael, and he will redeem Klal Yisrael. Why do you use the word V'hu and he with the capital H? If you said Hashem's name so many times, why not say it one more time? Why say only V'hu? Rabbi Yisai, V'hu could also mean and it. And according to that interpretation, it's not referring to Hashem. It's referring to the words right before. What are the words right before V'hu Yifteh Es Yisrael? The words immediately preceding are Yachel Yisrael El Hashem. Yachel Yisrael El Hashem means yearn to Hashem, never give up. Keep yearning and never give up. Yachel Yisrael El Hashem. Yearn to Hashem and don't give up. Says the next pasuk, V'hu, that attitude, that concept, that belief, Yifteh Es Yisrael, will bring about the final redemption of the Gula Shalema. May we remember, Yachel Yisrael El Hashem. Keep yearning and not giving up. Keep yearning and don't give up. And in that zechus, v'hu, that merit, that ability, will allow the Ribbono Shel Olam, Yifteh Es Yisrael, and we will see now the rejoicing, b'chutzos Yerushalayim, b'mheira, b'yameinu, amen.